Four Pines Brewing Co. filled with real characters, and they bring us the great man standing on the line now. His name is Matty Johns. G'day, Matty.
Johns, bud. How are you, boys?
Mate, we're going great guns, mate. How's your week been?
Mate, week's been good, Joel. Mate, bumping along. I'm trying to go back in memory what I've been doing. Obviously, nothing interesting because I can't remember.
Absolutely. Okay, let's talk about some footy then. What about the Cronulla situation? Matty, where do you stand on all of this?
Well, this is what I think. Look, Craig Fitzgibbon is an outstanding appointment. There's no doubt about it. And look, the bottom line is the Sharks board are entitled to sign who they like. But, like everyone else, it was the manner in which it was done. And even worse than that, it was in the manner in which they justified or tried to justify the appointment by leaking things about Johnny Morris to the media. You know, he was indecisive. You know, he goes back, he says one thing here and, you know, goes back and says the opposite to someone else. He doesn't return phone calls. All of those things are damaging to a reputation of a coach. And I just thought it was such poor form. That it leaked out of the club, those things that leaked out of the club. If they wanted to appoint Fitzy, all well and good, but they didn't need to basically run Johnny Morris through the mud to justify it.
Yeah, Matty, excuse my voice, mate. I put Tom Adonick as one of his shirts on and my voice changed. Feels like I've had 40 bungers. But, mate, I just think you've played for that club. What do you reckon the fans, how will they react?
Look, from what I understand, the fans are really disappointed because, I mean, Johnny's taken over a situation at this club which was enormously difficult, coming out of the peptide saga, all things that went on. Flano had left. He'd taken over a roster which, you know, had been sort of chewed up a little bit as far as salary cap and whatnot. And he's done a great job. On top of all that, Spud, when he first got the job, I thought, I don't know how Johnny's going to handle this because he's got a lot of big personalities. And he had a lot of big personalities at the back end of their career. And he's managed it beautifully. These players, like Dugan and Moylan, those two blokes, everyone was sort of looking at those guys saying, well, you know, they're just about at the end. Moylan's body is failing him. Dugs was getting to that point. There was talk of Dugs wanting to be medically retired. They're playing outstanding. And even more so, Andrew Fifita was dropped to reserve grade. And, mate, hasn't blown up once and just got on with the job. And I think that just says a lot about John's man management, and which flies in the face of what's been coming out of the club and why they didn't reappoint him.
Yeah, it's incredible when you hear all these different players talk about their coach. Wade Graham, he was nearly in tears. He was just, I can't believe this happened. He had Johnson on your show on Sunday night.
I'll tell you one there, Spud, with Johnson, because I was sitting with Sean on the couch about 1 minute before about to go on, and, you know, he was sitting there, and, you know, he received a text from someone, not from the club, just a friend of his saying, hey, mate, I reckon you better be a little bit coy about this, because since you're negotiating with the club, and he just went, stuff that.
Yeah, bugger it, yeah.
And just went on and spoke his mind. On Sean Johnson. And I said this the other day, it blew me away, Spud, when I spoke to him, and I said, what clubs have been in touch? And he said, none.
Wow.
A bloke of his talent, let's not forget how he was playing before he did his Achilles, and the way the game has gone. So you're telling me that the Broncos, that North Queensland, all those clubs haven't even bothered to bump Sean Johnson? And I look at the Broncos, and at the moment... you know, they've made Katoni Staggs a priority signing, which I get, mate. Huge talent. But they're saying that they're going to play him at number six.
Yeah.
Now, if they play Katoni at number six and they've got the halves, which they've got now, it ain't going to work. For Katoni to work in the six, he's got to have Adam Reynolds and Sean Johnson or someone of that ilk alongside him. But from what I understand... You know, finding a halfback is like a second or third priority. I honestly cannot work it out.
We did the maths yesterday, Matty, and there was about $4 million that Fitzy will have to spend. So I said to Finchie and Fletch, I said, righto, boys, you've got $4 million to spend. Well, they've allocated $150,000 for a Las Vegas study trip, which is typical of the boys there. A question coming in from Hulky from Oberon, Matty. He says, sugar question for Matty. When he's on, can you ask him which three players currently on the open market for 2022, he thinks would or could turn the corner for the Broncos?
For the Broncos, I'd be getting, firstly, Dane Gagai back. Mm. Gagai is a great yardage man. Look, I think Gagai, I've spoken before, I think of Johnson. And it's not just the fact the ones who are off contract, boys, it's also the ones you can get out of a contract.
That's right.
So we're talking about, you know, I think Gagai, who's an experienced outside back and a good yardage man. Secondly, you've got to get a halfback. You've just got to find a playmaker. That is the absolute priority. Adam Reynolds or Sean Johnson. Apart from that, I think just an experienced middle forward, big strong middle forward. You can take them. They've got to get a leader. One of the big dramas with a number of clubs who are struggling is they just lack leadership. Mm. They haven't got an out and out leader in their team, and so. You know, they're sort of just washed off sea with nowhere to go. That, you know, you can't rely on the coach to get you out of trouble or to solve problems. You know, that if you've lost three or four in a row, that the solving of problems comes within the leadership group.
Matty, just to finish off the Sharkies chat, where do you stand on Bomber Morris not being given the opportunity to coach out the team for the rest of the year?
Well, now, can you just explain that to me there, Joel, because I'm sort of getting different. It's a little bit cloudy what has gone on. Is it the fact that, has Johnny just sort of gone, you know what, you've done the wrong thing by me, you're going to walk, or have they told him to walk or encouraged him to walk? What has happened here?
Well, based on the mother's tweet, I don't know if you got a chance to read that, but she's sounds like he's been pushed, and where he would have loved to have stayed on. The management were saying, Chris Orr was suggesting that if it went down that path, he'd likely stay on. So I just don't in my head understand what the upside for doing this is. Like, you're paying the bloke out anyway.
Yeah.
The players have been very public in the manner that they love the bloke.
Yep.
I don't understand, but you know what, Matty? Maybe the old saying goes, sometimes the best gifts come badly wrapped. When we look down the track, maybe it ends up being a godsend for Bomber that he leaves with his share prices as they are right now, which are quite high.
Well, I can tell you, Joel, unless, if I was Johnny, they would have had to have sacked me publicly, because they might have been encouraging me to go, but I would not have. I'd have made it, like, got to the players and said, listen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to finish top four this year. We're going to find a way.
Yep.
This is how we're going to go. It blows me away how clubs at times sacrifice the present to try to shore up the future. And they just throw seasons away. I'm not going to say this one's throwing a season away, but, mate, I tell you what, they've put a pretty big dent in it.
Some of the players might have a backlash and might not perform, and Fitzy wouldn't want to be going there if they come last.
Yeah, I know, mate. It's just such a crazy situation. Look, as I said before, if someone asked me what would have I done if I was Johnny, unless they'd sacked me, and I just cannot for the life of me work out why they would sack him. There is no upside in that whatsoever. It must have been that they've basically encouraged him to move on, and he's done it. But, mate, I wouldn't have been going. I would have stayed there, because he's been doing a fantastic job. I would tell you, it would have been interesting, boys, if they would have hung on and beat the Roosters, and this comes out after it. I tell you what, there would have been a lot more fuel on the fire.
Absolutely. Now, about 12 months ago, Matty, Penrith Panthers, who at that stage hadn't done anything, and some would say they haven't yet. Well, they have had a wonderful winning run, that's for sure. However, they were turning up to training all dressed up, and I thought, I'm not a big fan of this, because what have they done? And they're very cocky, etc. However, now, you know, they've proven they're the team to beat. They've just been sublime, and I actually don't mind the bit of swagger they've got, but the Raiders quite clearly don't like it. Where do you stand on this?
I don't mind it.
Yeah.
If you got the arrogance and you can carry it, well, just go with it. Like Spartal tear. Those, you don't win competitions without arrogance and swagger, right? And I understand there's got to be a balance, right? But that's just the way it is. I mean, you saw that the Last Dance with Michael Jordan. Mm. Now, these boys are a long way off that, but I'll put it more rugby league. Those great sides that Spud played in with Manly, mate, in that side were a lot of players who were arrogant. And the bloke who was, you know, I looked to the most was Matthew Ridge.
Yep.
But Matthew Ridge was one of the greatest winners that I've ever come up against. Yeah. And he drove that side, from the fullback position and would talk people into shape defensively and sledge us relentlessly. But he was a winner. That's what he was. So, mate, if you can back it up, go for your life. What's going to happen? In the next 6 weeks, 8 weeks, they'll have a bad day at the office and they won't play well, and a fair bit of that will come back on them. But I don't think it'll worry them.
No.
I don't have a problem with it. It was a bit, the grabbing the tarp, anything, pulling him in, righto. You just, if you're Ivan, just say, hey, boys, listen, celebrate all you want. We don't want that sort of stuff. But, mate, as far as talking the talk and being lippy on the field, it is professional sport.
Spud, you know what? A lot of comparisons are being made to the 91 side. That's natural to do so because they come off after losing a grand final. However, the team who I think they resemble most is your team. Mm. Matty, do you remember how dominant that 95 Manly side was?
Yep.
So, so dominant, yet fell at the final hurdle.
Yep.
Very similar to what Penrith did last year. Mm. The following year, and I'll never forget this, I turned up to training in 1997, the end of 96 ahead of the 97 season, and David Waite said, boys, get this number into your head. 191. 191 was the number that you guys conceded in 1996 when you won the competition after being so dominant in 95. That was about 8 points a game. This Penrith side have improved their defence in a similar fashion to what you blokes. Do you see some comparisons there and how dominant that 95 side were, Matty, that actually ultimately lost, having to wait 12 months to later win?
I think the dynamics of the side are different to a degree, Joel, but I know what you're getting at. And if I tell you what it is, like that Manly side we played against in 95, they threw so much football at you that when by the time you got the ball back, you're oftentimes out of gas.
Yeah.
So you got Spud going forward, and all of a sudden you're going, Cliffy's got the ball and sending it to Terry Hill, then they're pinging it to the other side of the field, and guys like Craig Innes, Hopper's coming back through the middle. They're throwing so many questions at you that all of a sudden they knock the ball over your head and you've got to go back and get it. And your middlemen, they're out of gas. So that's one of the things you look at the young Panthers. Mate, structurally their defence is really good. Individually they defend pretty good. But the thing about it is they throw so many questions at you with the football that assists their defence. So there are some similarities there. I do that. You get some of the other sides that are good defensive sides, but they're so poor with the football that basically they're facing a maximum attack all the time and they can't withhold.
Chatting with the great Matty Johns, courtesy of Four Pines Brewing Co., filled with real characters. It's a beer that's welcome everywhere.
It brings back fond memories, Matty. I used to love going to training when Bozo was coach, and we used to have, let's say how good your defence is. We used to play games inside around quarter, and he'd break us into two sets of eight, and then he'd be calling blokes out, Carroll, Cement, and dropping numbers down. So sometimes it'd be 8-on-3. Sorry, 8-on-5, 8-on-4, 8-on-3. And you had to work on the inside. And in game time, we work like that. As you spoke about, we used to throw so much at the teams, three sets of six. We could repel a side for three sets of six. And when we got the ball, we'd score. And sides would be just shaking the head. But we perform that at training. We worked so hard. And I just see that with Penrith, especially the way they defend up and slide. And they work from the inside. Meaning, what I'm trying to say, you've got to let your mate know you're on the inside.
So, Matty, question coming here, which would help you answer it. Hello, lads. I love the show. This is for Matty. Five rounds in, Matty. Who have you got for the big dance in October? Have you got Penrith being there?
I've got Melbourne and Penrith.
Yeah.
I've got the repeat again.
Yeah
I do. I think, mate, Melbourne, things you'll start to see them really pick up in the next couple of weeks. Harry Grant coming back into the side balances the team up a lot because you're going to have Harry's creativity out of dummy half, but it also it lets Brandon revert back to that middle third running game. Yeah. Just gives them so much punch through the middle of the field. You think about that combination. You've got Harry Grant, you've got Brandon Smith and Ryan Pappenhausen coming at you right through the middle of the field. And, so that's they're the two sides I've got. It's interesting, Spud talking about the way Bozo used to train. Like, when you go in the Australian sides, Bozo would do that. And remember, Spud, he'd have the three footballs.
Yes.
And all the modern coaches these days, they call it chaos. They have all these different names, but Bozo and a lot of the coaches, Malcolm Reilly, do something very similar. It was, this sort of stuff, defending, under attack or defending under it with fatigue, and when you're under maximum pressure, that's a crucial part of your training.
Hey, Matty, just put a hypothetical hat on here for a minute. If you're manager of Anthony Milford, what are you doing with him?
Mate, I'm finding a club that needs a running six, that's got one, you know, that have got a good organising halfback, and basically needs someone alongside him who's a bit of a spark, because I still think there's a lot of really good football in Milford, but he's got to be in a role which has little playmaking responsibility. It's just, mate, it's just catch the ball, Milf, and just run the football. So that's what it is.
Absolute six, Matty, and you're saying an Australian club, too early for Super League for the Milf?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's not enough great playmakers or enough playmakers in the competition, I don't think, for Milf to just go, right, oh, there's nothing here for him, I'm going to go overseas. But I think there is a club for him. It's just finding the right halfback to play alongside. Mate, he's not a primary playmaker at all. If he could get his fitness back up to what it was, you know, he's what you'd call a fullback 5'8". He's never been and never will be a 7.
What do you make of this? I've got this bit of an idea in my head, Matty. I personally think for Parramatta to go to the next level, they need to do what Canberra did with White and make Gutherson a 6. What do you make of that?
But I'm a huge fan of Dylan Brown. I'm a really big fan of Dylan. I don't know if he moves into maybe a, you know, he might move into a bit of a 13 role, and be a, you know, sort of bring back that role, which a few clubs are starting to do, that running, you know, playmaking 13 that can play on an edge a little bit. I'm a huge fan of Dylan Brown. I think that's where Gutho will eventually have to go, and that's where might force Brown into that 13 role, because you can only play fullback. If you haven't got electric speed, or you haven't got that amazing footwork or size, I reckon you can only last a couple of years at fullback before it actually starts to catch up with you a little bit. And Gutho is just brilliant at a little bit of everything. But, you know, to be at the mercy of kick chases and diffusing bombs and in that maximum pressure position all the time, and at the mercy of sides just wanting to hit you as hard as they want. I remember talking to Kurt Gidley. Kurt Gidley had 3 or 4 seasons there, and by the time he asked to be moved out of that position, his body was just wrecked. And so, you know, like, if you look at the blokes who can stay there the whole career, they're the Greg Inglises, that sort of size and power, or the Billy Slaters that are just electric. So I think going forward in the future, I think Gutho will move into the 6.
Yeah, speaking of Trent Elkin, the trainer there, he said he's the fittest player he's ever coached in his life. But, Matty, you're back on tomorrow, 9 to noon. You've got Webby there. Your brother's going to be there, Andrew. Yep. And you get on in an offside, aren't you? You've got the Harley Heaven.
We're at Harley Heaven. Because when you think of Matthew and Andrew Johns, you think of Harley Davidson.
Well, one of the listeners said, I look forward to this. Matty can't even drive a manual car. So
no, that's right. So when Joey's going to ride the Harley, yeah, I'll be in the sidecar.
Yeah, very good. No, I look forward to that. That's out at Tempe too, by the way. So Harley Heaven, Matty Johns tomorrow morning, Glory, 9 to 12. Matty, great to chat again, mate.
Good on you, Joel. See you after Spud. Bye-bye.
We'll be tuning in tonight on Fox League, of course, the Matty Johns Show.